Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The Israelites during Jeremiah's lifetime were guilty of many sins. Violence and destruction were rampant in the nation. The people of God refused to listen to God's messengers. They thought of God's word as a reproach or an object of scorn. Jeremiah 6, 7, and 10. The prophet was weary of holding in his anger against such gross evil. He warned the Israelites that God would pour out his wrath on all the people in the nation, from young men to husbands and wives and the aged and those who were full of days. Jeremiah 6, 11, and 12. Modern preachers and churchgoers may not like that kind of preaching, but Jeremiah had no choice about the message he delivered. He knew the Israelites would suffer if they did not listen to God's word. If they failed to repent, he did not want their blood on his hands. So he had to say whatever God told him to say. Do not preachers in our day have the same obligation? Jeremiah does not provide a complete list of the sins of which the Israelites were guilty, but he does mention a number of very serious transgressions of God's law. Covetousness was one, but only one, of the sins that led to Israel's exile in Babylon. Jeremiah explains, "From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely." Jeremiah 6:13. The English Standard Version uses the expression "unjust gain" rather than the word "covetousness." Our brief study today will be devoted to covetousness among the Israelites. The Ten Commandments provide the basis for the explicit condemnation of covetousness or greed. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Exodus 20, 17. The psalmist maintains, "For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhors." Psalm 10, 3. Paul calls covetousness idolatry. Ephesians 5, 5. Colossians 3, 5. He insists that the covetous man has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5, 5. There are many kinds of greed in our culture, but few, if any, do more damage to individuals, to families, and to communities than gambling. Covetousness not only will cause men and women to miss heaven, it will lead to many tragedies and heartaches in this life. Just think of the people who have lost their homes, their businesses, and their self-respect because they were greedy. Gambling, one of the most deadly and destructive forms of greed, leads to an addiction that is as damaging as addiction to alcohol and to other drugs. It robs children of food, clothing, and shelter. And in some cases, it takes away mothers and fathers from their children because gambling addiction leads to suicide. To deny that fact is evidence of gross ignorance or plain stupidity or both. I read about a young mother who had been spending the family's house payments on gambling in the casino along the Mississippi River east of St. Louis. She had also taken a $5,000 income tax refund and spent that on gambling. She knew her husband and other family members would soon discover her misuse of the family's money. So she took a handgun and killed herself. If that were an isolated incident, it would still be serious. But it occurs on a regular basis in our nation. Some questions about gambling are in order. Do the ones who legalize gambling share any blame for those who commit suicide or those who neglect their families? Do the people who promote and sell lottery tickets contribute to greed in our communities? You know they do, but they probably could care less. If churches fail to speak out against gambling, will God hold them accountable for their unconcern? We must remember that silence can be sinful. Thank you, and may God bless you.